You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. All right, let's do this thing. All right, thank God, man. We've got a full slate of football. It's funny. NFL football has me on the balcony contemplating suicide. The World Series has me contemplating going and buying a Glock and putting it to my head. And we've got an NFL game tonight that, truth be told, I think I'd rather watch the Ellen DeGeneres show. No, that's not true. But thank God, we got college football. College, the NBA's back too. Like, come on, how good is this? The NBA's been great. We're giving you winners. We got more NBA basketball on TV tonight. It's just good stuff. Just good stuff. You know what else is good stuff? Teddy Covers joining us on the program from Ted's Sportsbook and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy Covers throws it down. We're going to run the gauntlet. We got 5 college football games on tap. Actually, we have 6 college football games on tap. We've got a bunch of different conferences, and we got the NFL conference. Let's just call the NFL college now. Like, really, is Tennessee and Jacksonville even NFL football? Yeah, I get, like, really? Is it? In name, it is. Technically, it is. There's an NFL logo there, but can you find, like, a bigger steaming pile of crap than this game that they've got going on tonight? And I even like Mariota. I do. And if I liked them last week against the Colts, I'm almost forced to take them. I don't know. Maybe I should just listen to Dumb and Dumber again. They're the experts with Titan games. So, yeah, we'll get the Dumb and Dumber picks. That should be a new segment, Dumb and Dumber's Picks of the Week. Yeah, they're 1-0. I'm 0-1. That game was pretty close, though. I figure the Titans should be able to run the ball. But anyways, Teddy's going to join us from the Strip in Vegas. Warren Sharp joins us. Matt Modica, a man of my own political affiliation, steps up and joins us. As it is the World Series, as the Chicago Cubs tie the World Series, tied at 1 right now. I didn't think it was possible for Joe Buck to be any more of a douche than he already was and more annoying than he already was. But no, he's found a way. And I didn't think, I don't think it'd be any impossible for him, like, to pour it on any thicker. You ever gone to IHOP and just poured on the syrup? That's Buck, man. He's pouring on the syrup, but unfortunately, he's pouring on another secret sauce as his man crush on Kyle Schwarber. Hey, Joe, Aaron Rodgers is going to get jealous, man. You know, Buck's going to have to go to a clinic and get tested for an STD. He's taking it so hard from the Cubs. Like, really, is this like, I didn't know Fox was like the official Cubs broadcasting network. I've got no horse in a race, man. It's a nice story, right? You know, you got the Indians are going to win, or the Cubs are going to win. And, you know, I'm kind of conflicted on this because I consider myself to be a nice person. Like, I am a nice guy. In real life, I actually am. You know, people, you know, that don't know me probably think he's always angry. He's always just in a bad mood. But I actually have a soft spot in my heart. So I'm conflicted in the fact that, you know, this World Series just makes me sick. In a sense, it's just enough. Screw both of your cities. Screw your curses. I don't care. All right? We get it. And, you know, the fact I don't even have a pony in a race here. And I'm a Bills fan. I should be interested in this somehow. But I just hate the world so much. I'm a nice guy, but I'm full of anger and hatred and malice and pestilence. I'm Mr. Burns, all right? I got like 99 diseases, but I'm fine. I'm fine because they're all like sort of clogged into one. It's the Grinch that stole Christmas here. But it's like I have to pull for Cleveland because I haven't seen so much media bias towards the Chicago Cubs since Hillary Clinton. And I guess it's fitting that Hillary Clinton is born in Illinois. That just sort of seals it for me. Go Tribe. Like, I'm not, seriously. This whole thing is just too much, as the incessant greed of Chicago is what really pisses me off. And it's like the band Sloan. The band Sloan? Everyone watching is like, no. There's a band Sloan, but they have a line in a song. It's not the band I hate, it's their fans. And that's the deal. I don't even hate Cubs fans. I just hate the whole thing. You know what I mean? I just hate the whole thing. I hate the fact that it's $28,000 to get into the game on Friday night. Cheapest ticket's about $2,200. You get in, $2,200, I don't know, I think you're up on that rooftop or something like that. Like for $28,000, yeah, you got a good seat to the World Series. That's fine. That's supply and demand. You know what? I'm not a communist, so I believe in capitalism. Pay. Hey, if you're rich, you got all that money, hey, you deserve it. Go to the game. I got no problem with that. I do have a problem with Chicago bar dumps and dives, charging people like $500 and $1,500 to go watch the, you know, the World Series in their dump bar. You know, I'd rather donate $1,500 to Hillary Clinton than give a bar $1,500. That's not true. I'd rather burn money with a freaking blowtorch than donate it to Hillary Clinton. But speaking of blowtorching money and speaking of Chicago and greed, hey, we got a common pattern here. Hillary's from Illinois. So is Barack. We find out now that Barack, we already knew that Barack already played like 350 rounds of golf. Barack Obama has played more golf in the last 7 years than like every PGA player combined. All right. So it turns out he went and played golf with Tiger Woods. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah, he cost taxpayers $3.6 million. Game time decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. The show replays at 5:30, available on Fantasy Sports Network Radio, on the apps, Android, iTunes, and all that other stuff. We got Warren Sharp going to join me in a couple of minutes. Matt Modica, CTMBaseball.com, will join us. Matt, very sharp baseball fantasy guru. He's a numbers guy. So we'll talk some World Series with Matt Modica, some NFL football with Warren Sharp, and we're running the gauntlet with Teddy Covers. We sent it to Las Vegas, Nevada, Ted Sportsbook and Casino. If you go onto Expedia and try to book a package at Ted Sportsbook and Casino, you're not going to find it there because it's a private book. What's going on, Teddy?
I don't take action. I don't give action to this book. All I have is a nice backdrop behind me. Yeah. How are you?
I'm angry today, Teddy. I'm okay, but you know, I'm somewhat angry. I should be in a better mood. I hit the Lakers last night, hit the over last night in the NBA. I think I'm like 5-6-2 in the NBA so far, so I've enjoyed the start of the association.
So why are you so grumpy then today?
Just because it's in my nature. I'm fighting with a lot of people about this election online. I retweeted that Barack Obama spent $3.6 million to go play golf with Tiger Woods. Then I got tweeted that I'm a racist for it, and I love Trump so much because I'm picking on Barack. And then I saw that Jeremy Lin donated $1 million to Harvard. Like, yeah, because they need new books, Teddy. You know what I mean?
One thing that I've really tried to do throughout this election cycle is to keep my mouth shut, you know, because the one thing that I love, it's very real. If you're a Clinton supporter and you say, oh, I like Trump, they hate you. If you're a Trump supporter, they say, oh, I like Clinton, they hate you.
I know.
So it's like, zip it, you know, not going to do it. And one thing you're not going to do is convince anybody that has an opinion with your words.
You're right.
You got an opinion, knock yourself out. That's what democracy is all about.
People are locked in, Teddy. It's like, it doesn't matter. And you're right, because they always say, like, especially, you know, in our business, don't talk politics, religion, etc. Well, if you don't, you got a boring show, right? If you got a radio show, whatever. But, and you know, normally nothing ever bad happens. There's disagreements. But this is the first election where, like, there's fist fights, families are breaking up, divorces. It's hostile, Teddy.
It's been hostile. I mean, that's the whole thing. They've all been like this. It's like the memory, you just forget. You remember, I mean, people forget Gore Bush in 2000. What
yeah, that was
an iconic
hostile
election that was, you know, and all the future of the country is at stake. And, you know, we go on. We go on whether we have a good president or a bad one. Doesn't matter. I'm not convinced either one's going to be good if they get elected.
Well, I said earlier, it looks inevitable. Hillary's going to win and the Cubs are going to win, Teddy. So here we are. Series price now minus 240. No total on Friday night. Hendricks and Tomlin. Cubs minus 200 on Friday night, though. What's your take? I mean, people jump on and off these bandwagons from game to game, Teddy. So where are you sitting right now after two?
The Indians needed to win game two to have a chance in the series. And the fact they got stomped around and Arrieta pitched as well as he did does not bode well for Cleveland. I'm not convinced that this series gets back to Cleveland. Let's put it that way. Or no, it's 2-2. Is it 2-3-2, right? Or is it?
Yeah, 2-3-2, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not convinced we see game six back in Cleveland.
I hate the 2-3-2. But yeah, you're right, Teddy. And they got Kluber. They're, you know, it's a desperation. They're already Kluber starting game four. So, yeah, you know, they can't
pitch. And that's the game they can win.
Yeah.
You know? But the starting pitching edges in every game is really strong, with the exception when Kluber goes. Just because, I mean, their staff has been decimated with injuries, and the Cubs staff hasn't. And I had a lot of questions about Arrieta going into last night's game. You know, he hadn't been great over the back half of the season, and he hadn't been great in his first two postseason starts. But, boy, He was great last night, and that does not bode well for a Cleveland team that, remember, they beat Toronto. Where they hit 160 in that series?
Yep.
You know, it's not like their bats have been going here in the postseason. And right now I trust the Cubs pitching more, and I trust the Cubs lineup more than I do of that that of Cleveland. So I think Chicago wins this series. Whether it's five or six, I don't think it gets to seven.
Yeah, hindsight's 20-20, but yesterday we could have gotten the Cubs at minus 110 to win the series. Jags and Titans tonight, Teddy. Oh, God, thank God there's some college football on tonight. Out of all the college football games, from a fan, if, like, you had to pick one game that you're watching, but not like the Cal-USC game, but, you know, as a whole, let's say in prime time tonight, like, my thought process, Teddy, is I like a lot of the games for betting purposes, but my thought process is, oh, boy, I'm looking forward to watching that Virginia Tech Pitt game. I'm looking forward to watching Cal-USC. I have the Titans and the Jags in the same category as, like, the Akron and Buffalo game. It's just another game on the board. You know what I mean?
I'm with you 100%. And, I mean, for me, I watch a ton of NBA. You know, yeah. As soon as the season starts, I watch as many
soak
games.
Soak it up. I know. I love it. Good stuff.
Well, it's, but number one is, it's not like you're sitting there watching one game. You got, you know, I mean, I got three TVs up here. I'm sitting there clicking back and forth. So I got, you know, two games on each TV, and I get a good feel about what's going on six games at a time. And, you know, that's what last night was. That's what tonight's going to be. That's what tomorrow night's going to be. Where I spend my time is where I think I can get the most use
knowledge out of
that time. That's why I'm not watching World Series right now. You know, it's on in the background sometimes. I'm checking the score. I'm not focusing in on the World Series.
Because you're not doing that because there's no more baseball to cap after this, right?
Exactly. And NBA, John, there's lots of money to be made in November NBA. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, only so much room. And, oh, God, Teddy, we got college basketball, too, coming up, huh?
Well, I mean, the one thing I try to keep myself sane in the sense of November's the toughest month of the year. There's no question about it. For a handicapper, when you're doing NFL, college football, you got the World Series, you got NBA, it's a little bit too much. So when you add college basketball into the mix, I start real slow. I don't really start working on college basketball until Thanksgiving weekend. And that stretch allows me to focus on college football and NBA and NFL without stretching myself so thin that I can't do anything right.
Teddy, you know I'm as degenerate, as hardcore as they come. I was going over last night. I was like, when's college basketball start? And I was on Sports Rage. So I look and I see, it's to the point now, Teddy, there's so many line games. I never even heard of half these schools anymore. I was like, who the hell is Seahaw University? I'm like, what the? You know, my favorite one, though, I found last night, Teddy, this is awesome, and I never heard of these guys before. Hood College. Hood College.
Isn't that where you went?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to love. I got to get there, Jay. Where'd you go to school? Like, I used to say, University of Street Savvy. You know, like, yeah, the Hood College. And you know where it is, Teddy? Of course, Baltimore. They're playing. It's Hood College versus Maryland Baltimore County on Friday night, November the 11th, and I'm stoked.
That's where Belichick went too, right? Yeah. Was it Hood College or Hoodie College?
He went to Hoodie College. Yeah. He went to
Well, when you start getting to the D3 schools, you know, and the
how about Grand Canyon, Teddy? Have you started paying attention to Grand Canyon yet? Grand Canyon?
I have not.
No, eh? They're sort of climbing that ladder, though.
From completely obscure to only mostly obscure?
Yeah. And they're a publicly traded university. I always encourage people to invest in them. All right. Jags and Titans tonight. Teddy, it's a train wreck. So I was on the Titans last week. I'm just such an anti-Colt guy that I was on the Titans last week, so I almost feel I have to. One thing is, I don't know, man, Bradley can't survive this. They're terrible. Bortles got booed off the field. At least Tennessee are trending up. They're not like, okay, you know, we all suck. This is terrible. They're sort of trying to work their way through this. They could be a 500 football team with a win. And, you know, but the Jags, I don't know, it's a tough game, man. Like, what's your take?
Well, I had the Titans last week, as you did. The game's tied 20-20 in the fourth quarter. You got Mariota versus Luck. And you see Luck on the sideline, you know, the camera pans to Luck on the sidelines, and he's calm, and he's talking to his teammates. And you see Mariota on the sideline, he's like biting his fingers. You know, there was a great quote from Mularkey after the game saying, and he didn't say it, but what you always try to do with any coach's quote, you're trying to read between the lines, trying to get the nuance from it. And what I think he was saying is Mariota's not the most confident guy right now. Mariota's kind of lost his edge.
Yeah.
And that makes me very reluctant to lay points with Tennessee here, even though I do. I mean, Tennessee has the potential to be the best team in this division by a pretty wide margin. But, you know, we're talking about two head coaches with more than 50 games worth of NFL head coaching experience, and neither one of them has a career lifetime record that's better than the 333.
They might be the biggest money burners going head-to-head ever, Teddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at Tennessee and I say that team has the potential to win this division. I don't necessarily think that with Jacksonville, but laying points with the Titans, I like the Titans' defense a lot more than I like the Jets.
Yeah.
But Mariota concerns me every bit as much as Blake Bortles does. And, of course, may not matter if the Titans can just run the football down their throat, something they've done fairly effectively at times this season.
Eight straight primetime games have gone under the number, so which means this goes over.
when you start talking about the pantheon of games you want to watch this evening, and this one goes to like 11th on your list, you know, because you got NHL you're probably going to watch, you got NBA.
I mean, the Clippers and the Blazers game tonight.
I want to watch Celtics Bulls too.
There's
a bunch of good matchups. So I'm with you for a league that's struggling with rating, putting this matchup on Thursday night. I guess every team plays Thursday night, so this is their opportunity to not watch.
I told people this earlier in the week. I said, you think the ratings are bad? Wait till the NBA starts, and you're not forced to watch the NFL. Okay, how about Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh? This, you know what they always say, this ain't your granddaddy's team. This is your granddaddy's Pitt team almost, because they're putting up points again like they used to with Dan Marino. It was a long time ago, but it's a high-scoring, high-flying Pittsburgh Panther offense, which people don't really think of the Panthers as a team that's going to be putting up 38 points a game, Teddy.
You know, I disagree. I look at Pitt, and they're not. This isn't a high-octane offense. They're not pushing the ball up and down the field.
They're a high-scoring offense.
What they've done is they've converted their red zone chances. They converted their red zone chances extremely well, but Pitt has mediocre QB play on a good day. You know, Virginia Tech, they're going to have the quarterback edge this week in a big way. Jared Evans is a monster. And I don't know if I'm sure people have seen him a handful of times. He's really good. He's a good runner. He's a good thrower. He has absolutely stepped up as a perfect guy to run Justin Fuente's offense this season for Virginia Tech. But I look at Pitt, what they've done, they've executed so well. They've been able to rip off big gainers from that running game. And it's been very confusing for opposing defenses. And it may be confusing for Virginia Tech, but one thing Virginia Tech has, they have the appropriate level of athleticism to handle that defense and the appropriate level of size up front. So I'm not in any rush to take the Panthers this week, even though I think they're good and I think they may well be a bet-on team. Virginia Tech's the class in this contest, and I think it may show tonight.
They have a bad track record as a home dog, too, Pitt does. Okay, we'll blast. We got 5 minutes, so we'll blast through them. Ohio at Toledo. Cold and windy tonight in this football game. Rockets laying 17. Is the number too high?
You know, it might be, but Ohio hasn't been any good. And Toledo, when we talk about the MAC, I mean, it's Western Michigan, Toledo, Central Michigan. 1-2-3. And Toledo slams Central Michigan.
Yeah.
So they are capable of covering this number on their home field. Of course, the Rockets play defense. The Bobcats don't. Although Ohio has had Toledo's number in every recent meeting.
Akron and Buffalo. There'll be about 300 people at this game. Akron and Buffalo, 40 degrees and windy, Teddy. Of course, we're in the area, so we know all about it. Very, very cold, dreary, dark, rainy, windy. You know, like I said, there'll be friends and family there if they're lucky tonight. Akron, Bowden's done a nice job with this team, man. They were terrible. He's turned them into a team that becomes bowl eligible tonight. You know, it's not often, Teddy, you see a college football team that only averages 14 points a game, but that's what the Bulls put up. I'm not in a hurry to lay 17 with Akron, but I think they pace them.
And it's been nothing but Akron money. I mean, I'm looking at as high as 18.5 now on my live odds screen. There's been a significant swell of support for the Zips in early betting action today. And in my mind, the price range is wrong here. Buffalo's an under team. I know that offense is not any good. What are they, one win on the entire campaign? I don't expect the Bulls to pull off the upset in this contest, but Akron, you know, we saw that explosive game, what was it, at Memphis, where they put up all those points. And the Zips are capable. They score on defense. They score on special teams, which is something that not a lot of MAC teams are capable of doing. They have the requisite level of athleticism. But offensively, this isn't a team that I'm comfortable laying three scores with on the highway in a bad weather situation when the passing game not likely to be clicking on all cylinders. So lean Buffalo plus the points.
Georgia Southern getting 4.5, 5. App State comes to town. Weather not a factor. Southern, talking about money burners, 1-7, Teddy, against the spread in their last 8 football games. I've been on the wrong end of a few of these guys, too. I almost get tired of hearing about how good Kevin Ellison is, but they are pretty good. They can run the football. Interesting Sun Belt clash tonight.
Yeah, two teams with very different styles of play. App State wants to throw it all around, and Georgia Southern will not attempt a pass unless they absolutely have to. You know, it's not a game that I'm even close to being in action on, Gabe. Let me put it to you that way. Because when you get down to the Sun Belts, when you get down to a lot of the MAC schools, even Conference USA this year, the level of inconsistency from one week to the next is significant. When I find teams from those lesser conferences that are consistently bad or consistently good, those are teams I'll look to ride. But for the vast majority of these teams, you're going to see one week they're up here, and the next week they're down here and back and forth. And you get an aggregate power rating, but that doesn't do you any good for that particular week. Clear pass for me.
I've always compared the MAC to the Canadian Football League, Teddy, because of that. The CFL, there's no rhyme or reason. It just is. You know what I mean? It just is. And you have to hope that you're on the right side of the roulette wheel that week, basically. And, you know, the one thing with Georgia Southern, too, in a similar situation to that, with their football games, it's such a gamble, Teddy. It's like betting on Georgia Tech, like that early game against Georgia Tech and Clemson this year. You knew right away we're screwed. You know, if you had Tech, you're like, the run game isn't working. It's getting blown up. And the option doesn't scare them. And it's one of these deals. Georgia Southern's option will either work or it won't.
Huh. Yeah. And those are the type of games that are really good for live betting.
Yeah.
Not necessarily great for betting before the opening kick.
All right, we've only got 1 minute. So we got Cal and USC on the board. I want to get your quick take on Michigan as well. So Cal, USC tonight. Cal beats up on bad teams. Cal's not a bad team, but they're not a great team. I love this offense. I'm a big Davis Webb fan. Cal are just, you know, what is it? Every game but one's gone over the number for Cal. USC should be able to score on these guys. Total 75.5, whether or not a factor, 16.5. What's your take?
I don't want Cal tonight. And it's just like a spot perspective. Remember that game last week? Was it Arkansas at Auburn?
Yeah.
And you look at that line and say, how is Arkansas catching 10.5? Because Arkansas is completely gassed. And it showed early, and it got ugly. So here's Cal. They're coming off that wild, double overtime win against Oregon. Here's USC on the heels of an overtime game in their previous contest as well. And here's USC coming in off a bye. Big freshness differential between these two teams. And oh, by the way, Cal's top receiver, and this guy's a monster, Chad Hansen. He leads the team in receptions. I think he has twice as many as the next guy. He leads the team in yardage. He got twice as many yards as the next guy. He's listed as questionable to doubtful this evening, and the markets don't seem to think.
When's this kid going to play, man? I thought he was going to play last week, Teddy. Hey, I just got told it's up to 19. Which game's up to 19, Warman?
Cal.
Wow,
USC.
Cal's getting 19 now, so they must know.
Yeah, I'm looking at 19.5. They're steaming Cal. They're steaming USC as we
speak. Dear God, Teddy. I got to go against the public. All these people running.
The public doesn't move numbers.
I know.
Syndicates move numbers.
Yeah, that's, they must know Hanson's out. They must be official. All right, Teddy, we got to get out of here. But Michigan Lane 24.5. I just want to win the game, Teddy. Let's just get out of here with a damn win.
There is no point spread high enough for this game. You know how professional bettors are always like, oh, well, if I was at -2.5, I like this team, but at +4.5, I like that team. Sparty could be +80 in this game. Well, at +80, I'd think about it. They could be +35 in this game. I don't want Michigan State. Michigan is coming with an axe to grind, and Sparty ain't no good.
Who's got a bigger axe this week, Brady or Harbaugh? Brady and Belichick.
Harbaugh. Oh, it's not even close. Harbaugh. I mean, the way that Michigan lost last year to that. And remember, I mean, Michigan laid off took their foot off the gas last week. They were up 31-0 at half, and for the first time all season, they took their foot off the gas.
I know.
That's not happening this week. If they're up 4 touchdowns, they're going to try to go up 5. If they're up 5 touchdowns, they're going to try to go up 6. Harbaugh wants blood. And remember, this is a huge game for recruiting for a Michigan State team. I mean,
yeah,
Michigan
State. Yeah, we got to take it back, Teddy. You're right. You can say, you want to be part of this? Now, would you see what we just did? Exactly.
You know, Sparty had the edge for about 5 years in recruiting, and Harbaugh's like, not anymore, guys. Not anymore.
Yeah. You got me all fired up. I know I'm going to run to the window. Later 24 and a half. Thanks, Teddy.
Hey, pleasure's mine.
Teddy Savransky. Check him out, sportsmemo.com. Covers experts and on YouTube, sports bit video of the day. All right, we take a quick break. Warren Sharp joins us. We talk some NFL football with Warren. Game time decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Continues. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us from Las Vegas. Let's talk some NFL football. We talk a little NFL with Teddy, but we focus more on the collegiate side of things. Full slate of college football tonight. And Warren caps college football as well. And probably when we're talking about schools, I don't know, Maryland, Virginia Tech, both in your backyard. But I imagine in the D.C. area, Warren, there's some hokey coverage, isn't there?
There's a little bit, yeah. I mean, we kind of get a mixture of a bunch of different schools, a little bit more inundated with the Maryland stuff. But Virginia Tech, we'll be back, especially when they were pretty good. A little bit of UVA as well. Those are kind of
UVA,
still impact us.
Georgetown in basketball, right? So it's Georgetown, but...
Exactly. Georgetown in basketball. I can tell you there was some pretty sharp money on the under in the first half of the game on this Virginia Tech game tonight. And personally, I like the over in the Navy game. Tomorrow night, I gave that out at 63, and that has shot up here the last hour or so to 65, 65 and a half.
Well, right after the show, I'm going to jump in on this. Warren, thanks for the tidbit. Navy over tomorrow night. So would you say some people are hammering the under in the first half of this Vautech-Pitt game, huh?
Yeah, they took the first half under. They took the full game under. Obviously, I mean, Chris has been opening their totals all over the place this year. They got somebody else in there helping to set them. But, you know, most other books like Pinnacle or Westgate, these guys open a little bit more reasonably at the Pittsburgh game at 59, 57. And this has seen a bit of under money come in. It's kind of contrarian because of the two styles and the result that both these schools have produced. I personally am not doing anything on the game, but, you know, both these teams certainly have the potential to go over. And, of course, Pittsburgh, I mean, 6-1 to the over so far this year. They've just been going over left and right. Their only under was the first game of the year against Villanova that they won 28-7. Since that time, every single game for them has gone over. So that would be a tougher game to swallow. But you can see some of the sharper books around town. I mean, right now, Cantor is down at 55.5, whereas the rest of the market offshore, a lot of spots is still at 57. So definitely the sharp guys are hoping a game goes under, but it's probably going to take a couple of turnovers in the red zone or something for it to get there.
Well, I hope it continues to drop, and I'll grab the over. I'll gladly grab the 55, maybe if we even get a 54.5 or so. Jags and Titans on the board tonight. Speaking of totals, Warren, everyone, there's been a lot of conversation, obviously, about the primetime ratings in the National Football League being as bad as they are. And, you know, the Chicago Bears are on Monday Night Football. It's going to be the fourth time in 8 weeks the Bears are on a primetime game. Tonight we've got Tennessee and Jacksonville. And, you know, as evidence is the low-scoring matchups, and you and I have talked about the different ebbs and flows of these Thursday night matchups over the years, Warren, from overs to unders. But 8 straight primetime games have gone under the number. 8 straight Monday, Thursday, or Sunday night matchups. And in fact, last 10 primetime games, 9-1 to the under, Warren.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, when they tried to do this thing to create more equity amongst teams by having it only divisional games on Thursday because they know the travel on the short week is very difficult. So naturally, from a geographical perspective, most of these divisional teams are going to be closer to one another. So they tried to do it from that perspective. Obviously, we had week one. We had Carolina going out to Denver, but they didn't have a game before that, and they had extra time to rest for their, you know, the next week's game. But the reality of what they should be doing here is they should stop giving us these divisional games, which tend to be lower scoring in the first place. What they need to do is give the teams a bye week the week before this Thursday night game. They already have a little bit of extra rest after this game. Make them all have a bye week. Put interconference matchups in there, let some teams from the AFC play the NFC and vice versa, and really kind of try to get the week started off with a bang. Instead, what the week starts off with is, yes, there's football on, but it's two teams that would otherwise not be on TV potentially because they're just not very good, that they're getting equity in terms of getting all the teams on TV, and then there's this divisional battle. and it just ends up being games, most of the games that end up being laughing stocks for the NFL.
What surprises me when looking at the numbers, while Blake Bortles, 9 touchdown passes only and 9 interceptions on the season, he got booed off the field last week by the faithful. And it's shocking to me that the Jags only score 19.5 points per game. Shocking for reason number one, all the talent that they have on offense, but they can't run the football. And shocking number two, they're trailing all the time. You figure even playing in garbage time to be able to score, but they're not even putting up garbage points, Warren.
No, Blake Bortles really has progressed. Everybody had really high hopes. It was something I noticed in last year that I'm sure a lot of fantasy guys noticed as well, was the simple fact that they were scoring a ton of points in situations where they were trailing and playing in garbage time, like you just mentioned. So a lot of people were hoping that they were going to be able to bring that over this year with an improved defense to not trailing, but scoring these points, while they were leading, or just being a more aggressive offense during those points. But what it ended up being is that, yes, they were scoring, but that was when teams were playing in prevent, like you mentioned. And when teams are actually playing them tough, this year, they aren't being able to get the job done. Blake Bortles definitely not in sync. It's a shame because he's got such talented receivers there and skillful guys around him from a receiving perspective, but they're just not getting the job done. And while the defense has improved a little bit, without a ground game and then having to go so one-dimensional, it's going to impact any offense when you have to go so one-dimensional. But it's definitely impacting them. Blake Bortles' play needs to really improve and improve quickly this year.
Yeah, and like you said, it's obviously harder to complete passes and not to throw interceptions if the other team knows that, hey, these guys can't run the ball. Let's just drop five, nickel and dime packages here. And plus, it confuses the quarterback. Tennessee can run the football. Tennessee, could be very, very good, but they're not there yet. But they have the talent to get there. DeMarco Murray is already there. I know it's a tough game. I see it's come down to from 3.5 to 3, from 44 to 3.5. Let's move on. But any quick takes, any position tonight?
Not really. I've actually done literally nothing on this game. Clearly, the under money came in early once this line was first posted, down to 43.5 from an opener of around 46.5. But I don't see any value at that number. It's just difficult. There's a lot of volatility here with how Blake Bortles will perform. And if he ends up having one of these rare good games, then I could see it getting over that total. If he doesn't, he struggles, and where's he throwing his interceptions, and all that kind of plays into the total. And so I'm just going to stay away and focus on Sunday.
Redskins-Bengals get Sunday started from England, early morning game. Bengals have been a train wreck. They've only beaten bad teams. They beat the Jets in week one, only because Fitzpatrick turned the ball over a million times in the fourth quarter. They beat up on the Dolphins on that Thursday nighter, and they beat the Browns. Yet, you look at that division with Cleveland, with Baltimore, with Pittsburgh's injuries, it's still there for the taking. They're only a game back of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's a big game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Redskins run that 4-game win streak, came to a heartbreaking end last week. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, it looks like Jordan Reed might be back, which is obviously a key. I've been impressed by Kirk Cousins' play without Jordan Reed. Obviously, Jordan Reed, one of the better, more effective tight ends in the league. So I've been impressed by what he's been able to do when he's there, and so it was nice that Kirk Cousins was able to perform somewhat in his absence. They probably should have won that game last week up in Detroit, but for the fumbles. And it looks like that their starting running back here might be out for this game. What are you hearing about his status?
Yeah, you know what? We'll get it. We'll get a Redskins running back update in a second. We got quick guys in the booth, so. Well, I don't know. Everyone seems to be. What surprised me about the Redskins, actually, in the rushing attack, that they're averaging 4.8 yards per rush.
No, exactly. They've been quite efficient. And that's one of the things that actually, the defense of the Cincinnati Bengals has not been playing like the defense of the Bengals in the past. I know they missed Vontaze Burfict out there for the first few games of the season, but they really have not been playing all that well. Now, they are one of the better offenses that the Redskins will have to face. I do expect, Chris Thompson, him to have a pretty big role in this game as a pass catcher, maybe taking some carries out of the backfield. So I have a feeling that, a good fantasy pickup if you need a running back. But I think I think this game could be a little bit back and forth. Both these teams are a little bit more pass heavy, and you know, I could see Jay Gruden wanting to have a little bit of success against his former team, and Andy Dalton, you know, going up against his former offensive coordinator.
The Redskins are 5-2. Yeah, Redskins are 5-2 to the over. They have been high scoring, so yeah, we can't confirm Matt Jones' status right now. Still, as of our conversation right now, I would guess that he's not going to play since he's on like two of my fantasy teams and he hasn't done anything all year and then finally started to do something. So I would expect that he would be out, Ward. But is the total too high here at 47.5 in this London game? Like you said, like the Skins, you know, the Skins games have been going over the number 5-2 to the over.
Yeah, they have. And one of the things that both these teams are good at is early on success rate offensively. They both rank in the top 10, and defensively, they both rank in the bottom 10. So from that perspective, hopefully both these teams, if you are taking the over, will skip some of their third downs and move the ball a little bit more effectively. You do have the wild card, obviously, of being over in London. I don't see enough value from a pure math standpoint to look towards the over here. But certainly, if I had to press, I would be looking at the over as opposed to the under.
All right, time always flies by. I can't get to all the games here. I had the Packers-Falcons I wanted to talk about, the Chiefs and the Colts, and the Eagles and the Cowboys. So pick one of these games, Warren, and we'll close up with this.
Yeah, the Packers and the Falcons, this game's intriguing to me because, you know, where this game opened, it was as if, you know, the Packers are the better team. And granted, I took the Chargers last week against the Atlanta Falcons, and they won outright. But the Atlanta Falcons still have been very impressive. Now, I don't like the fact that Tim Coleman is not going to be playing. Devonta Freeman is a little bit dinged up. Hopefully, we'll get some better injury updates on him later on this week, but in terms of whether he practices or not. But I do think that the Atlanta Falcons should have a lot of success. We saw what happened when the Green Bay Packers actually went up against a legitimate rushing offense, and that was when Dallas Cowboys ran all over them. The Green Bay Packers have not played very many good offenses. I like the fact last week that Brian Hoyer was going to get a chance to pass against this secondary, which is completely depleted. He obviously breaks his arm, and he doesn't get the chance to do much in that game. And so yet again, another week where the Green Bay Packers have not really had to face a really good offense, and I think the Atlanta Falcons should have a lot of success on the secondary. I think they should have better success than people expect running the football as well. Now, defending Aaron Rodgers in the short passing game is going to be difficult, but that's assuming Aaron Rodgers plays a really good game, and we've seen him be very erratic as well. If you have this stack both quarterbacks up against one another over the course of their career, it's Aaron Rodgers' slam dunk. But this year, it's Matt Ryan, and there's no questions asked. So I really think that this game, you know, Atlanta should be favored by more than 3 here, and I think there is a little bit of value in the Falcons.
Warren, it's always a pleasure. Check out Warren online, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Follow him on Twitter. He's on Periscope. He's got blogs. He's got picks. He's got podcasts and everything else in between. Thanks for the time, Warren.
Have a great one.
There's Warren Sharp with us. We take a quick break. Matt Modica joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some World Series baseball. Matt Modica joins us, ctmbaseball.com's Matt Modica. Matt, always a pleasure. Great time of the sports year. As I stated earlier in the week, it's the best time of the sports year. There's other good times, but this is the best.
I totally agree with you, Gabe. I love it. You know, you got four classic, NFL, hockey's on the way. I'm stoked.
Well, you know, the Fall Classic, and people are buying in because of the sentimentality of this World Series. But last night was kind of boring. You know, Game 1 had some intrigue. You know, it was close until it got busted open. I found last night was a little boring, unless you were a Cubs fan. But, you know, it should be interesting at Wrigley this weekend.
It should be a madhouse. I mean, I lived in Chicago for 4 years. I moved back to New York last year. And I can only imagine the mayhem that's going to be going on. And tomorrow night's matchup is so intriguing. You got Kyle Hendricks, who's been phenomenal at home, 20 runs allowed in 116 innings combined, regular season, postseason, 11 2/3, scoreless streak going since he allowed that homer in Game 2 to LCS to Adrian Gonzalez. So, I mean, the Cubs have him going tomorrow night versus Josh Tomlin, who's allowed the third most homers in baseball, 18 at home, 18 on the road. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it really is tough. And Tomlin's kind of an X factor here. The problem is, sort of like the Dodgers problem against the Cubs, you can't pitch Kershaw every day. And they can't throw Kluber out there every day as well. It's too bad they have the injuries that they have with their rotation. And Kyle Hendricks has just been so damn good. The real question is here, because it seems inevitable. And you'll like this, Matt, because I said off the top of the program, I said it's inevitable that both the Cubs are going to win and Hillary Clinton's about to win. And I'm going to turn the channel as soon as they both happen. So, but you like that. Yeah, the Indians are in a
that
lot.
That does seem inevitable.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Cubs are more inevitable, it seems. Maybe Trump's got a puncher's chance still, but the Indians are just in a lot of freaking trouble here, aren't they, Matt?
They are, but before the series started, I thought they had one winning formula. That's to win the Kluber games. You win three of those, and you steal a game with Andrew Miller out of the bullpen. That's been their, really, to me, the only formula for success for them. So, you know, I mean, what they... getting to the World Series was a major accomplishment for them. You know, everybody, including myself, didn't think they'd beat Boston. You know, so this has been quite the run. But, you know, like I said, if you can get the Kluber wins, you get it to Game 7, you know, anything's possible, especially with Corey Kluber on the mound. I like my chances there.
I don't like the 2-3-2 format. I've never been a fan of the 2-3-2 format in these seven-game series. It's such an advantage for the team. It's such an advantage for the team that starts on the road. You know, if you were able to win one game, I mean, right now, this might go back to Cleveland now. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, boom, lights out, party's over.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of it. I mean, I don't understand what baseball, basketball, whichever the one of these major sports. I mean, you can't play 2-2-1-1-1. I don't understand why they can't. I mean, they can travel, I mean... For the most part, sometimes you're going to have East Coast, West Coast. But, I mean, this is the pinnacle of the season where everybody's playing for the championship.
You know, but let's,
so I totally agree with you there.
Let's be honest, though. Cleveland had home field because of the All-Star game. Chicago sort of deserves home field anyway. It's not one of these, like, it's, you know, it's amazing to me just the irony of this that it's been so long, 108 years for the Cubs. Yet it's a bunch of kids that might end this curse. Six starters, 24 years old or younger.
It's amazing how deep and how good the Cubs are and how quickly this... I mean, look at Kyle Schwarber. He's becoming an urban legend.
Oh, God, I know.
The guy was done. I thought I was going to see him in the AFL next week. I believe it next Wednesday for the Arizona Fall League.
Matt, they're going to have you're going to see Mark Wahlberg is going to be starring in a movie. He's going to be Mark Wahlberg stars as Kyle Schwarber talking about his heroic return to the World Series. Yeah, that's all Wahlberg
that's
does.
That's crazy. that's very true.
But they got to be careful not to get caught up in this. So, what's your prediction over the weekend? Then does this end in? Does it get back to Cleveland, do you think?
I think it gets back to Cleveland. I'm going to say Cubs in six, but I would love to see a game seven. I really would. I mean, like I said, that formula of the three Kluber starts, hopefully Kluber can win game four. I think the Cubs are just set up too perfectly tomorrow night. And, you know, if you win that one game, you're going back to Cleveland.
You know, I came into this and I said that Chicago is going to win the World Series, but Cleveland will win game one. And then I took Cleveland again in game two. And, you know, I took them. I like the momentum factor. I like the quick turnaround. They were rolling along. I wasn't sure about Arrieta. But it's one of these deals where I can't fight the wave here, man. I got to hop on the Cubs bandwagon now over the weekend. I just think it's too tough. And, man, we saw Hendricks, how just good he was against the Los Angeles Dodgers. That was a wicked home start of his.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Hendricks, it's just phenomenal. But he had a great year in general. But what he's done at home at Wrigley has been masterful. Like I said, the guy's given up 17 earned runs in almost 117 innings. That's pretty damn impressive.
All right, Matt. So, yeah, we got to get out of here. The clock is tolling for V already. CTM Baseball, follow him on Twitter, Matt Modica. Thanks for the time, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
There's Matt Modica with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back with our plays of the day, and, man, we've got a lot of them. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got a lot of them, so we got to be relatively quick here. Let's start off in the National Football League. Tennessee Titans and the Jags. Looking forward to it. This is a train wreck of a football game that could go either way. But I was on the Titans last week. I think the Titans are a better football team. I think they're trending up. The Jags are trending down. Mularkey's not about to get fired next week. Bradley could. Give me the Titans tonight. This is dangerous, man. 8 straight primetime games have gone under the number. So let's take over the number, because every jackass out there is going to read that 8 straight went under. They're all going to bet it. It's coming down. This game squeezes over the number. Blake Bortles is terrible, but not as bad as the Jags' rushing attack. They throw the ball every damn play. He averages 39 attempts a game. Give me over 22.5 completions. Long field goal, pretty low at 43.5. Let's go there. NBA basketball. I got more picks than this, but I can't stand here all day and give you 22 picks. Take the over in the Blazers and the Clippers game tonight in Portland. I like Portland to win this game as well. College football, the Zips. We're zipping it. We're laying the 17 with the Zips. Although this spread's going up, and it's tough for the guys in the booth right now because it's like a live stock market. Numbers are changing. This number's gone up. It's like 18.5 now, but I like Akron to roll. I like Pitt plus the 3.5. I like Vautech and Pitt to go over the number, and this number's coming down from the 57. You could probably get a 55 right now. Georgia Southern getting 5, getting 4, getting 4.5, depending on wherever you're going to bet it. App State and Georgia Southern, let's go over the 45. This number is a crazy one, man. I was ready to take the 16.5, 17 with the Cal Golden Bears. Now I'm getting 19.5, maybe 20. It'll probably be 21 by kickoff tonight. I'm going to wait and see how high the spread goes. Click the over now because that's not going to come down. We like Cal plus the points and the over. And I also like the over in that San Antonio Sacramento game. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.